Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin. Ve salatu ve selamu ala eşrefil enbiyai vel mursalin Muhammedun Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve ala alihi ve sahibi ve sellem. Teslimen kathiren kathiren. Ama ba'du. My brothers and sisters, there is a young man that I'm speaking to. Make dua for him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him Islam inshallah. He is studying Islam in whichever way he can, and he's trying to understand Islam, but he has not yet accepted Islam. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance for him and for to make him musharraf bil Islam inshaAllah. Now, one of the questions, he asked me a question, and I always enjoy talking to reverts and talking to people who are not yet Muslim, because they have a different spin on things, right? Because we are, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the privilege of being born into a Muslim home, and our ancestors have all been Muslim and so on. So many things it comes with the air. You breathe the air, it comes in, and you know, we know this and we accept it and we don't think about it. But people who come newly into Islam, they have a different perspective, especially people who come from these cultures. I mean, this culture compared to the Islamic culture, which is more or less common in almost all our countries, is like a being on a different planet. It's not even a different country. It's like another, some other form of life. So for them to take a view of Islam is a very different view. Now, this guy asked me a question. It's a long question, so I won't repeat the whole question, but effectively he's asking two things. He's asking for the relationship between ambition and contentment. Ambition and being satisfied. And he's also asking for the relationship between accepting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given and wanting more. So, which is basically about the same thing. So, his question is related to, one, am I supposed to live in a state where I'm never content with what I have? Or on the contrary, am I supposed to say what I have is enough, therefore I need not do anything? Right? So, am I supposed to kill ambition or am I supposed to kill contentment? This is the kind of dilemma. And this is something which is very common. I'm sure a lot of us also face this, especially young people into careers, you know, wanting more and more and more. I mean, I remember when I was in a career, when I was looking for a career and in a career and looking for development in the career, it was like, you know, sitting on a hot plate, right? I mean, constantly my mind was on what can I do more and more and more and more and so on, and never satisfied. So, this is a very, very common thing. The point I want to make here is that, alhamdulillah, Islam gives us the most beautiful answer for this. And if you want to look for the answer, before I go to the answer, let me give you a very short picture of some of the people who we look up to as our leaders. And one of the best is Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Now, if you take the attitude of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, if you take his worldview, on the one hand, you had a man during whose rulership the boundaries of the Islam spread all the way after the Battle of Yarmouk. The Byzantine Empire came to an end, so it went all the way up into Iraq. And then on the east, it went all the way up into Persia, right, with the Battle of Qadisiyah. So on the one hand, you are seeing here is a ruler whose ambition is, within quotes, literally to conquer the world, right? And to the extent possible that he could do in his life, he spread the boundaries of Islam. He is the one who opened Al-Quds and Jerusalem. The doors of Jerusalem were opened to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. Sophronius was the Orthodox bishop of archbishop of or pope of Jerusalem, and the doors of Jerusalem Al-Quds were opened to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Right. So on the one hand, you have this man. On the other hand, the same man, the same time, obviously, other people saw the way he would be dressed, And the other Sahaba were his brothers, he was the closest to him. And they went to his daughter, our mother, Sayyidah Hafsa bint Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anha, and they gave her a piece of cloth and they said, please give this to your father, tell him to make a new garment, a new thobe, and don't tell him our name. And they were afraid of Sayyidah Umar radiallahu anha's reaction. So Sayyidah Hafsa radiallahu anha gave him this cloth and she said, you know, your brothers, they feel bad about the way you are dressed. Your dress has got how many patches? I mean, it's like more patches than cloth, right? So they don't like to see you like this. So they say, here is that. You are the Khalifatul Muslimin, you are the Amir Muminin, and you are, you know, alhamdulillah, the Muslim kingdom extends all the way up into Iraq and into Iran and so on. I mean, you know, look at this. So they say, they have you. He said, who gave you this? So she said, no, this is Amana. I cannot tell you. I cannot tell you who gave me this. So he asked a question. He asked her a question. He says, tell me, what was the dress of your husband? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I will not change this because I am afraid that if I change this, I will not be permitted by Allah to be with my friends. Who are his friends? The best of the best. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So on that, now this life, this one piece of life, gives us the answer to this. What is the answer to how do I balance ambition with contentment? We balance ambition with contentment by changing the reason for the ambition. The reason most of us or any, you know, within quotes, person who is not introduced to Islam, the reason he has or she has ambition is for themselves, at the most for their family, right? At the most, I want to create a world-class organization. I want to become a billionaire. I want my family to be financially sound. So I must have property. I must have this. I must have this. So this ambition is around this. Islam says, change the focus of the ambition. Instead of having an ambition for yourself, have an ambition for Allah. That's it. Have an ambition for Allah. And for myself, I'm content with what Allah gives me. Alhamdulillah. I'm content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me. My ambition is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I will not buy a newer car and a bigger house and so on. All, I don't need all this. Alhamdulillah, Allah has kept me comfortably. I'm not saying be in a case or in a state of need. No. Alhamdulillah, there is a limit beyond which, you know, once you have eaten one meal, you don't need more food. So similarly, so content, materially content with what I have, alhamdulillah. But for the sake of Allah, that ambition is boundless. Now the beauty of that is, the problem of having an ambition for yourself is that when it is achieved, that's it. Peaks and drops. I want to be a billionaire. Okay, so now I have $1 billion. Now what? It ends. I mean, there's only this much you can, you know. But the ambition for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forever. Number one. Number two, the benefit of having an ambition for the sake of Allah, meaning that my ambition is that I must be the means to showcase Islam for the world. I must be the means to open the doors of people's minds and hearts to Islam. So for each of us, this ambition fits every aspect of life that you might be in. If you are a ruler, the same ambition. If you are, I'm seeing Dr. Ali, if you are a medical professional, if you are a doctor, same ambition. I'm seeing Ibn Abbasatar here, if you are a businessman, same ambition. So in your life, showcase Islam to the world. Whichever is my profession, the same ambition applies across the board. There's no, I don't have a formal outside the house profession. I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm raising children. Showcase them. Make them the standard bearers of Islam. Make them people will look at them and say, SubhanAllah, what kind of children are these? Wallahi. That is the issue. So, alhamdulillah, Islam gives us this answer. Have an ambition to do for the sake of Allah, which makes the ambition boundless. It makes the ambition something which is continuously inspiring to the end of your days. You never reach, you never go into a trough. And it keeps our own personal desires in check. Alhamdulillah, for myself, what I have, alhamdulillah. I don't need $1 more. I don't need one thing more. I'm very happy. Alhamdulillah. But for the sake of Allah, no end to that. Right? Final point I want to make is that if you look at it from the perspective of a material ambition and a spiritual ambition, the material ambition, you feel content. Alhamdulillah, as soon as you have enough, you say this is enough. But the spiritual ambition, which is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is an ongoing thing. We are never content with that. So we are content with it to the extent that I've done what my best today, but tomorrow I'm going to try and do more. Now this is a continuous thing, which is something which keeps you inspired throughout your life. You never reach a plateau. You never reach a place where you are, you know, you feel life is meaningless. No. Life has always meaning. Life always has meaning, and life's meaning continuously increases. And as you go forward, it helps you to keep focused, to keep inspired, keep yourself inspired, and to remain alive and in the moment all the time by focusing on the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can I gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So each day I try to do more than I did the previous day.
So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to help us to keep this one thing in mind, which is the rida of Allah. That's it. The rida of Allah. We ask Allah for His rida. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which does not please Him and to help us to live our lives in the beautiful way of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Today is Jumu'ah. I remind myself and you, let us make sure we read Suratul Kahf, and we should send salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day as a part of our normal routine, but today even more because of the extra fadila of Yawmul Jumu'ah, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmatullahi.